I'm Beth Hover, a member of the board for Our Community Cares volunteer organization, and you're in tune to 90.7 FM, WGXC, Accra.
This is John Sturman
and Carmen Borgia,
and we're the hosts of Ukuleles Unleashed.
Tune in the third Tuesday of each month from 8 to 10 p.m. to hear the latest,
the hottest, the most raging work
going on in the world of ukuleles.
We'll always have a few friends join us to discuss the finer details of this perfectly fine instrument. Join us as we have a listen to a uke or two.
Ukuleles Unleashed
on WGXC Accra 90.7.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Gene Douglas of High Falls, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Art Omai in Ghent, New York. Open daily from dawn until dusk. Art Omai Sculpture and Architecture Park presents the work of contemporary artists and architects across 120 acres of field and forest. Now accepting advance registrations for visits on weekends and select holidays. Information at artomai.org.
You know, I was listening to the radio and I heard this thing.
90.7 FM. Listener-aided and abetted radio.
Yeah, just don't even look at me.
Nice and loose.
Okay.
Nice. It's like the perfect chin strap now.
Boom. Hello, everyone. We are in northern Italy, at Lucedio Abbey, a structure that was built in 1123, on the occasion of Margareta Rasso's show Casting the Temple, and Carly Malone's collaboration. Canto for the Flooded Field. Who are with us? I'm your host, Emma McCormick Goodhart. This is an episode of Tongue in Cheek. Jenny Cheng from New York City has arrived yesterday, and Stephen O'Malley here too, holding the recorder. So this is the day that the show opens. We're the morning of, in the middle of fields that grow rice and smell redolently of hay. But we hope that you as an audience can feel like participants at the vernissage. This is an experimental live radio vernissage.
Yeah.
So,
hi everyone. Yes, this is Margherita here. We are in the middle of a maybe a little foggy context. The church, the abbey, is oriented south, which is very bizarre for an abbey. But that is because the abbey has a specific position within the territory. And so the bell tower was only visible to other abbeys around if the church was oriented this way. And so let's start just to introduce you to this very specific and strange place where I also invited Callie Malone to confront herself with. The abbey is half accessible and half inaccessible. So we have a bell tower, medieval, fully renovated and fully solid. It preserved in time, and the rest of the church has been rebuilt several times, and the last construction happened in the Baroque period. So the contracts, there's a bit of a tension between these two parts of the single building, the architecture. And we are waiting for the person that will open the side entrance, which has a huge keyhole. So let's hope that this person will come soon so that you can enter with us inside the building and have a glimpse of what's happening inside.
Up until now, those of us that arrived yesterday, so Jenny, Stephen, and I have not yet been inside, but we have heard, we've sort of encountered the work by voice, by descriptions, which was also the way that you two worked together for much of the period we were collaborating.
This is Callie here. Margherita and I started becoming pen pals last year during COVID, and she very slowly exposed parts of this project to me, and now that I am finally here in Lucedio, it all becomes a reality. And it was at first so abstract to just thinking about the agriculture, the flooded rice paddies, and the connection between the rice paddies and her jacquard weaving sculptures, and thinking about music and deriving information from the most microscopic elements of the rice field and the jacquard weavings. And then now I'm here, and there's so much more to observe. I feel like I've been zoomed in on such a small element of the art, which has become incredibly complex. And then now that I'm here, there's so many other elements that overwhelm the senses. It's going to be really fun to see.
Maybe Margherita, describe for us the process of how a jacquard is loomed and is made, and perhaps, Kali, how that relates to the loom of an organ, for instance. Or.
Well, jacquard technique was introduced in the early 19th century by this man, Joseph Jacquard, and it's basically the it's like the
the father of computer, of the computational,
maybe we can.
Sorry, I'm going to move around because it's wind. I'm invisible.
The computational language with punch cards.
Yeah, it's the ancient version of a computer because it works with binary code 0-1. And at that time, back in the days, this type of loom was allowed in the making of
maybe we walk over here.
The making of very complex fabrics, so very complex drawings. And so what happens is that every thread gets the behavior of each thread is given by these punch cards. Back in the days were punch cards. Now it's all electromagnetic signals that they are making. So the looms are all industrial electronic. So this manual part just disappeared in time. But every zero or one, every black or white square gives the information to the threads. So each one is maybe it's a complex machine and I'm
a kind of writing though.
Yes. This technique allows me to work with surface in a way that I'm interested in this. The surface of a jacquard fabric can have reliefs, and I'm interested in having an image that also involves touch in terms of perception, and the idea also to involve Kali in this project came because I felt that we were sharing a space in relation to perception and what happens when you stretch or you compress certain gestures. And with jacquard, in terms of as a machine, you can actually do that. And so I took over 1 year, solar year. I took more than 600 images from air, so with a drone of the rice paddies, of the rice fields, and then I selected just few images, actually four of them, to then realize the fabric pieces that are inhabiting the bell tower of this abbey. And yeah, so it's been a process of observation in time.
And of translations across media and time scales.
Yeah, and the music comes from the observation of just 2 centimeters of this tiny, 2 centimeters of big pieces of fabric, and each centimeter contains 84 threads, and Kali analyzed those 84 threads in a single square. Composing then a music piece that we will share with you, and
it was so interesting because I didn't actually see Margarita's finished pieces until arriving here, and but that wasn't necessary actually to make this piece because I was looking almost through a microscope at the DNA of the art, which was
this is the, so true.
Yeah, which was this 2 centimeters, and trying to detect the smallest iteration of the pattern and dissect that, the smallest iteration of the pattern, and make musical interpretations out of it. Originally, I interpreted the pattern as a rhythm, and then chose harmony that could function in my own musical taste. And that was what I did for one pattern. Then the other pattern had a really strong harmonic impression on me, and so I was able to actually choose a harmonic series and chord structure that I felt resembled the linearity of the pattern. It's kind of complex to talk about it, but maybe that's interesting and a nice challenge. So the pattern is I wrote on just graphing paper, gridding it out, and so then I was able to interpret singular units of the pattern as time, and then vertical space as harmony. And there's another element to the work that I perceived when Rosso and I were speaking, and that was that she took these photographs when the rice fields were becoming flooded. And so I was really interested in this element of we're in this agricultural land where it used to be hills here, and now it's completely flat from humans controlling the land. And there's something about when the fields become flooded, then the grid lines that are so clear and that sculpt your perception of nature here, where you have the forest over there, but everything else is hyper-controlled by humans. But when the fields become flooded, there's this sort of reclaiming of nature in the space, and especially in the aerial perception, this blurring of boundaries and lines. And so in the composition, I also wanted to deal with that tension and friction between order and control and just the natural organic material that makes up sound. So I was really interested in working with the first fundamental principle of the pipe organ, which is air, and working with the breath that creates the harmonic series from the organ, and kind of tuning the organ, and then from that tuning, a pattern emerges and becomes the focal point for the listener, and then over time becomes subdued and reclaimed in this flood of air. And so it was really amazing to think find inspiration in all of these levels of Margarita's work, of from the microscopic point of view to the aerial view. And it was just such a lovely experience to work with a visual artist. I've never done that before, or I've never worked with what is it called? Is it called plastic when you work with physical material? Plastics. Yeah. I've only plastics. Worked with video art before, and so it was so different to approach actually material art. Really fun.
You said it so beautifully. This moment of flooding, and when water comes in, and is a moment of entropy where really it's so powerful, and the dimension, the grid, which is something that both of us, I guess, we have to kind of confront ourselves like daily. You with the in front of the organ, and me in front of the loom, and then having this space where just water comes in, and we welcome this element in order to create another level.
It's a welcoming chaos, yes, into the order, and yes, finding a way to appreciate it and let it in.
Yes. The modern grid just dissolves.
Right.
For a second.
Water is the anti-grid. And
yeah.
The un-terraforming
and
tongue. But I'm thinking, as you speak about flooding and excess, of how dense and rich the sounds of non-human animals are here, and that, like the frogs last night that we heard, and how that, too, is another layer of flooding. Mm.
We were talking about this when we were driving through the landscape the other day, how there's these African birds that migrate here, and they're here now because we're now in the flooding season, and there's just so much wildlife around here, so many different types of birds, and it's incredible to think that through our collaboration with nature and agriculture, we can often so much think that we're above nature, but and then you see so directly how we're affecting the migration patterns of these birds and the frog and the ecosystems of the frogs and the crabs. so much to learn from being here.
Yeah.
And also like the hierarchy, it's just not what like we usually think it is. Like we are not like the first inhabitants of this, definitely not of this land. And yeah.
So. Margareta, you described hearing gunshots at 2-second intervals when you were first in the bell tower.
Yes, well, that was during a site visit. It was still in winter time, and from the inside of the building, I could hear a gunshot. Salvage when you're not really shooting at someone.
Into the sky.
There's a term, but anyhow, it was just repeating every 2 minutes to keep the birds away from the fields, especially during the time of
sowing.
Yeah.
Also, sowing. I mean, the word sowing.
Yeah.
When you sow seeds.
Mm-hmm. But sowing and your work with fabric feels, in fact.
Oh yeah, they part.
To be yet another.
Making, shuffling the seeds.
Seeming land.
And yeah, so this gunshot was just keeping the birds away from the fields, but eventually I realized that they just got used to this sound, and as we get used to so much sound that is perhaps not there for us to inhale, but we just get used, and those birds were just quite chilling.
They were entrained. That there's a thing in music called rhythmical entrainment.
Okay.
Is oftentimes in repetitive polyrhythmic music, this is a state of mind that becomes completely entrained and aligned with an iterative rhythmical experience. And it's interesting, like, because this is sort of what I did with the music in some of those parts, to try to create an entrainment of the mind through repetitive cycles of a pattern. And so the birds were also rhythmically entrained by this gunshot, where it just becomes completely part of the environment. But if it was a random timing, not at the same timing every time, maybe it would have a disturbing effect on the birds.
Yeah.
Is it a bit like entering like a trance?
Yeah. Yeah, I think like it's used for that element, also for dance.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so that makes sense. Like movement, also like the body, how it moves.
Mm-hmm. Do you think we should try to find the keys to the bell tower?
I think so, because this is
The show is meant to open.
The show is about to open. For the listeners, there's like 100 chairs outside of the Abbey, and the mayor is going to make a speech.
Oh, yes. In Italian, because we are in Italy.
We'll get a little bit of that for you.
Can we walk trying to...
Yes.
L'importante è che quando venite di là tu mi chiuda la porta, okay. No, mi avvisi, perché
però la gente, la
molta gente senza capire.
Ah, ok, magari viene.
Certo, senza magari.
Ok.
Buon lavoro.
Grazie. Arrivederci.
And the power is... The power is...
Yes.
Upstairs.
Right.
Okay. We've just been let into the bell tower.
Mm.
Breaking into another section of the church too.
This is the only time we'll ever be able to look in here because there's no one guarding, so we should probably try to get in, I would think, because there's not going to be another time that we can look inside.
So this, Kali, tell us what this section
so this,
is in front of us.
This, we're now at the threshold of the Abbey, which we haven't been able to go into because it's completely, like, it's very destroyed in here. And it almost looks like it's been bombed out. There's parts of the facade just falling out. There's all of these pigeons flying around.
And a confession chamber on its side.
And there's also a bunch of human bones in the corner that were dug up from the monk grave.
The crypt.
Yeah. And there's the mural of the pipe organ.
That's bizarre. A mural in the space with a person there. The dream.
Can we run over and look at the other side now? Very quickly.
Yeah.
Okay. Come on, we have to be really quick before they come back here. So the cross has been robbed, and now there's only one stick in the middle where the crucifix used to be. But you see, people have cut off just little facades to use as coffee tables, or taking the marble from this church in order to renovate their kitchens or something. So it's really just been picked apart. There's a lot of dead birds, so watch where you step. And there's some human remains here somewhere. Okay, watch out for the dead birds. I I don't find the human remains yet. Margarita was there. I think we should probably... Wait, see, is that one?
No, that's not a bone.
Bones of the building. Bones of the building.
Over here.
And you see this light pink on the walls? It's a very washy pink.
Yeah.
It actually has legs, like it's like a watercolor with lots of fluid.
The crying column is here,
yes.
Right? I wonder which
one. The column that cries.
Yeah. Time to go back to the authorized zone.
Is that an eggshell?
Bird egg.
Oh.
There's another one here.
Look, look, many, many birds. And many...
You guys, we have to see the exhibition before it opens.
Yes. Come with us, you will.
Back to authorized zone.
Begin. So, maybe we could just go up. Okay.
Yeah.
And then we come down.
Yeah.
Did you consider starting at the top as part of your installation? Starting at the top and descending? Or is it thought of always ascending?
Either way,
You
are open, welcome to navigate the spaces you want. But it's basically just going up or down in terms of there's so many stairs.
I often do that with multi-level museums. Go immediately to the top and then come back.
I like to do that at the...
This is a trick.
Bonjour. The first public arriving?
Yes.
Ish. In trickles.
That's beautiful.
Gorgeous. Margarita, tell us before we go up into the bell tower about this piece.
So, the first piece is sitting at the very ground floor, which also have several layers from Roman ruins to the first construction, medieval construction. So the floor is quite articulated. And on this first floor is sitting a structure of a copper pipe that is holding the first piece, fabric piece. It's 8 meter long. It has some trimmings that are holding the back of it, creating a sort of sacks, like as you would hang a weight on a...
It's counter.
Yeah, it's like
there's
a bodily...
It's a counterweight, like a theater curtain.
Yeah, it has a theatrical aspect that I kind of wanted to dismantle with showing every aspect of the exposing the dismantling the theatrical and mm-hmm. just showing really the bare structure mm-hmm. of something that usually in theater is constructed to elude uh-huh. and to bring like the play to life.
To create the illusion that the space is different.
Yeah.
But here you're showing the mechanics of the framing, holding the piece.
Exactly.
Not and hiding anything.
You're totally right. And then as we will go up, the structure, it will get closer and closer to us, and we'll mm-hmm. find ourselves also much more involved in the piece.
The fabric has a tail, so it gathers. It's longer than the floor.
Yeah, it's like high frequencies. Tell me if this is wrong, but they get absorbed by ground. The frequencies, they mm-hmm. get absorbed by ground, mm-hmm. and they navigate into air. Like there's this relation with absorption mm-hmm. and what I try to do with putting part of the fabric on the floor is just to create a correlation with gravity and what happens with our body standing or being how we deal with space and how we deal mm-hmm. with gravity and how we move. So these pieces are trying to really inhabit the space in a bodily way. Mm.
Did you mention that this piece we're looking at right now is placed in front of the door of death? It's
yes.
in the back of the chapel?
Yes. Yes. So here there's a very, very consistent wall right now, but way before, at the beginning, probably the first construction, medieval construction, was having there was a door that was connecting directly the church with the cemetery, which is now a rice field actually. Mm-hmm. So this room was having this door called the door of death, because yes, crossing this threshold, he would go in another dimension. And so I decided to position this first piece right here also as a proposing perhaps another threshold to step in. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Beautiful.
It makes me think the whole category of altar pieces as well, in panels that you encounter at the fronts of churches, the relationship that this...
Yeah, and the images of these fabric pieces are the sides of them is the maximum sides of a door. Mm-hmm. So each image is occupying within the fabric an average of a usual, like a portal.
Wow.
So the image could be this potential environment where to step in. Mm. Mm-hmm. To live in, yeah.
A portal.
Yes. Yes.
The viewing platform also reminds me of being outside on a swamp. So you're bringing in the liquid again. Somehow.
There's a special viewing platform because the ground is obstructed. You see probably several hundred years of different construction of tiles that are slowly eroding away. How many different... It's like if you were to look at a wall that's been painted over 100 times, but it's with tile. And so you can't actually go and stand on this because half of it is dirt, and then it slowly, in a diagonal form, grows into tile, and then there's Margareta's piece.
The stratification of the time of this building mm-hmm. through the floor.
It's almost like a geological extraction yeah. mm-hmm. of tile art, but it's completely eroded.
And we can see a grid even on the wall next to that fresco.
These were the inspiration for the structures. I ended up deciding to really work on this same gridding that is usually made for then painting the fresco. And so, yeah, it's the correlation is quite visible. But,
yeah. We can hear some of the music.
Yes, we are starting.
Continue. Arrived at a window overlooking the ruined part of the abbey, the chapel, from the tower, from the interior of the tower, and the second floor is being entered.
We hold in our hands for about 10 months. They're both coming from the wave of the fabric. In Italian, it's called armatura, which is sounding more as an armature. In reality, these are the structure that is describing the way the fabric is waved. So the behavior of each thread is exactly this landscape, because they look like
And these are the patterns that I derive all of the musical material out of. So right now, what you can hear in the background is the first pattern, and then later you'll hear the second one. And for this pattern, I was really struck by the verticality of the nature of it. So I was just intercepting these two trails. So looking at, and it actually takes three times for it to repeat. I had to calculate all of this. It takes three times for it to repeat, and I'm constructing these two trails of patterns. One is following the other. And the same for this one, but this, I was interested in going up and down the octaves in the same chord iteration. So there's just different inversions of the same chord that go up and down the octave, like this pattern just goes up and down. And then on the second pattern you'll hear later in the piece, this one is much more interested in a sort of horizontal progression of melody. And it actually has chord changes. So right now, in the music you're hearing right now, it's all the same harmonic material. There's actually not a melody per se, even though we can derive that the music is changing, it's actually all the same material.
Yeah. And we discuss a lot about this vertical and horizontal, and it's quite incredible still for me to see how these two elements, vertical and horizontal, are just repeating over and over within the whole dimension of this place and exhibition. Because it's a continuous rhythm that we are immersed in. So
let's go up.
Yes, and it makes me think of that crucifix, redacted crucifix mm-hmm. form in the forbidden section, which is just the vertical.
Yeah.
But there is that leitmotif within these structures.
Yeah.
These processes.
Up we go. Yes. Yeah.
They're letting people into the exhibition, so we're moving ahead of that flood into the third floor of the tower. And the, wow. This floor is much more compact. There's a stairway going up through the center of the room. And I have to say that the tower is an eight-sided shape. That's very apparent in this room with the wooden stairwell. And there's a large tapestry on one side.
Also with a tail draped where it meets the floor. We're at this point, we're under a stairwell, but encountering this second fabric piece.
And this piece has a red rope on the left.
Yeah. And a spider already made a spider net. Just look at it here. I destroyed it, but
we're an actual spider.
We're all kind of covered in spider webs right now, actually. From I had to just shake a bunch of spider webs off of Margarita's jacket.
We're all standing within the copper frame now as well.
Copper is a material that transmit heat and energy. Mm-hmm. And so for me it was kind of a natural to decide to work to make a structure with this specific material that is passing informations. Mm-hmm. And because the work is in its totality a show on language and what happens when we translate is a line into sound or a gesture into a physical response. So yeah, copper.
There's the grain of rice in field as line becomes symbol, turns line, made sound.
Yes. Circularity. Definitely.
And we're at the level that the wind or the weather, the air, comes in, finds its way.
The next level is the windy level, actually.
Yeah. So we should maybe go up and see how that changes.
It's very impressive being in front of this piece so closely. The perspective is completely different to the ground floor.
So this is the blood part.
How much did you scale up the pattern on this fabric?
So it's about 50 meters off the ground, the image. Mm. Yeah.
Ascending to the next etage. Where the next fabric is on the stairwell, actually. Crossing the threshold into the stairwell. The staircase. Wow. And this level is already significantly more windy and open. And compact. casting the tapestry with the wind billowing it from the stairwell going to the next floor. And through the windows you can see the landscape more clearly with more distance. The rice paddies and the structures of the abbey.
Actually in a different level of the bell tower than the tops. So you have a really different, we're almost to the final tower, to the bells. So this is we hear more of a bass response, especially as we walk through the stairs. And then when we get to the top, you actually start to hear the high frequencies of the pipe organ and the air sounds.
Even the visceral sensation of wind against skin.
Yeah.
There's so much to be here as we hear.
Yeah, and watching the wind make this fabric piece dance all around and touch the stairs, and now it's wrapping around the staircase. It's like embracing the staircase.
I wasn't expecting a sense of tension as we go up, like a climactic, I don't know, maybe the piece change, the sound, and that sound pressure,
yeah.
The wind.
It's just a perfect timing.
Yeah.
Shall we make our way?
Yes.
It's beautiful seeing the piece wrapping around the stairs and moving with the wind. Balcony with a subwoofer on it. With the tapestry. The top of the tapestry at knee level on the balcony.
And we can hear
as we get closer to the sound, to the source of the sound, we find ourselves looking at these structures that hold the different fabric pieces from above. So there's this sort of change of perspective, something that we were looking from eye level point of view. Then we are on the second floor, we were inside, and now on the fourth floor, almost reaching the bells.
We're at the four and a half.
Yeah. And we look at the pieces from above. So just a perception again.
And these, we see these two chains hanging from the ground. These are the chains that you actually pull in order to ring the bell. But we can't pull them because the speaker cables are wrapped up in them, so we would tear down the speakers if we rung the bell.
Otherwise,
it's purely suggestive and temptation to self-sabotage.
Thank you. walking up into the top of the bell tower where the main part of the sound installation is, and two old weathered bells. And a terrific view of the landscape and the tops of the buildings around, and a nuclear plant which was never commissioned.
Away, and this is what you do by just pulling out the stops very slowly.